Well, good morning. It is so good to see all of you on a little chilly out there, but a beautiful Sunday morning. And we are so glad that you're with us today. We want to welcome all of you, and we want to welcome those that will be listening later on the service online from the website. And we want to say a welcome to all of them that are joining us for worship too. A little bit later on, I'm going to be asking that question, and I don't want you to think about it the whole time. But what do you do with stones? What do you do with stones? Yeah, we'll talk about those. So let's join together and stand and sing our Gloria Patri as we begin this morning. There in our bulletin for our call to worship. Once we were not a people, but now
we are God's people.
Once we did not know mercy, but now
we have received God's mercy.
We are precious in God's sight.
We worship the one who called us in Christ.
Well, let us worship this morning. And we can do that this morning. If you want to use your hymn books, it's 452, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Or you can follow along on the PowerPoint this morning. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all. Way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all. On the everlasting arms. Aren't you glad today that we have some great arms that we are leaning on? Well, let's join together there in the bulletin again for our opening prayer. God of light, you have called us out of darkness into your divine light. We thank you for all you have done in our lives. We listen for your life-giving word, that we might proclaim your goodness in all we do. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. You can turn to 188 for our next one. Or you can follow along on the PowerPoint as we sing Fairest Lord Jesus. Our kids to come down this morning. I think we got a lot of them. Come on. Yes, yes, yes. How's everybody doing? Good, 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 good. Good to see you this morning. Okay, I have a question for you. Have you ever played with blocks before? Okay? Okay. So, or we could say, what's the other ones that they stick together?
Legos.
Thank you. I don't know. What did you say? I'm not familiar with those. It must be something newer? I don't know. Maybe not. But Legos is what I was thinking. But anyways, so yeah, we put them together. Now, if you're going to build a wall or a little building, what do you have to start with?
You have to start with the base.
You have to start at the base or the foundation. Good, good, good. Okay, now, when we start, so that'll be the very bottom, okay? And we're going to start, we're going to build a wall. And what's going to be the first block on our foundation? Does anybody know what that's called? It's usually right here. If this is the foundation here, this is the first wall that goes up. It's usually right there. What's that called? Well, it'd be a brick or block, yes. But there's a specific name for it. What is it, folks?
Cornerstone.
The cornerstone, yes. Why is it called the cornerstone? Because it's right there in the corner. It's right there in the corner. It is. Or a block, corner block, yeah. They're usually blocks, the way we think of it today. But in ancient times, they used stones. That had to be hard, wouldn't it, to build with stones like that? It wasn't? Okay, what'd they do? What'd they do to make it work to build a wall? What'd they do to those stones?
They tried to stack them.
They tried to stack them, yes, but what if they're round? What are we going to do to them if they're round and we want to be able to stack them? Okay, yes, they eventually will add mud to hold it all together. Especially the most ancient times, they would try to put all those stones up, even if they were round, and do it that way. But what did they eventually learn to do to those stones? Yes, shape them.
them, yes, they would shape them so they're a little more square. Because the cornerstone always has to be that perfect stone that starts. And you put that right in the corner, on the edge, and then you start putting the other blocks down. But guess what? They had to get those blocks cut, chiseled, shaped, smooth, so they can build that wall off of that cornerstone. Okay, now I'm going to tell you a little bit of a story that's found in, oh, shoot, I forgot to flip it over. Oh, well. In our reading today for the adults, Peter says that Christ, Jesus, is our cornerstone. He is the foundation of our life, and he starts in that corner, and then we connect to him, and each of you, one of you will be here, one of you will be here, one of you will be here. Wait a minute, what am I saying? Are you stones?
No.
Peter says you are. You know what he says you are? He says you're living stones. You're alive because of Jesus, because you're connected to him. And he's building something out of you. All of us here. Jesus is building something out of us. What's he building? A household. A spiritual household. The church. God's kingdom. God's people. He's building each one of us are alive stones. Now, stones, what stones? They're just hard. Yeah. Can't do much with them. Guess who's chiseling us if we're the stones? Jesus, yes. Jesus. You might say, wait a minute, how can you be the cornerstone? And because we're chips off the old block. Have you ever heard that expression?
No.
Yeah. You're a chip off your mom's block. And notice I didn't call your mom old. So. Another one, what's that mean? You may look like your mom. You may act like your mom. That's what that means. And guess what? As life, living stones, we are to be like Jesus. And then Jesus is building us, all of us. We are stones in that wall that he's building. Guess what? Jesus is our cornerstone. And when we're connected to him, we have life. And second, we're all together, growing, being built into something beautiful. We sing that song, something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, he understood. And then it goes on and it says, he's making something beautiful out of my life. Every one of us. God's making something beautiful out of us. All right. You guys can head downstairs. And while they're heading downstairs, we're going to go to our time of prayer. And maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning before we go to prayer. Somebody, yep.
A couple of families to remember, the Dutcher family and the Ferris family. Both of them lost family members this past week. Mike Ferris was a very close friend of mine. And just both of those families for the loss of the loved ones.
Okay. So we want to remember those two families in our prayers. Did you say Dutcher? Okay, that's what I thought you said. And then the Ferris family. Okay, somebody else? Yep.
Unspoken.
Okay, unspoken this morning. Someone else? Yep.
I saw that Pastor Andy's biopsy. They came back benign.
Oh, thank God for that.
Yes. So they don't know what's going on with his thyroid, but it's not.
Okay. Thank God for that. Yes. But let's continue to pray for him because we prayed for him last week and for Andy. Put on their thyroid. Find out that God will give them wisdom
try to find out what's going on there. Somebody else? Yep. Okay, unspoken. Yep.
My brother Dwayne was taken to the emergency room last night with some heart problems, some chest pain, so I don't know what's going on here. There we
go. I want to keep Wayne, right?
Dwayne.
Dwayne, okay. We want to keep Dwayne in our prayers then. I see another. Yep. Yes. Yep. Barney's on our. I was glad to see him. Wasn't sure how that was going to be. But brother, I know what that back pain, disc pain is all about. So keep Barney in your prayers. He's going to need it because it sounds like they're going to run him through the mill like I had to go through. First, physical therapy. And then maybe, I don't know, we haven't heard all that yet. But they ended up doing shots in my spine and then finally surgery. And they could have just fixed it right away. That's all right. Because in the end, the insurance paid for it all. So, somebody else, yeah.
Speaking of insurance, my coworker, Kelly, I can't remember her daughter's name. She has a cyst in her brain, and they keep putting off the surgery because the insurance won't. They'll cover the surgery, but they won't cover the hospital. It's a weird situation. So they keep putting it off and putting it off. Trying to find a way that they can get the insurance to pay for the surgery.
One of her good friend's daughter has cysts in her brain, and they want to do surgery. She said the insurance will allow them to do the surgery, but won't cover the hospital bill. And
the doctor, but not the hospital.
Yeah, stay. So let's pray for this daughter, but also let's pray for the insurance that they'll be able to get that worked out. I've seen in a few cases where sometimes if they reword codes and wording on the thing, that sometimes that happens, but you never know. So definitely want to pray for that young lady this morning.
Yeah, I'd like, of course, to pray for my daughter, Judy Beal. She had an abnormal blood test that was serious, but not aggressive.
Okay.
So they're just looking at it from the future. So.
So we want to keep Judy in our prayers. I know several of you that know Judy and definitely do there about that. Somebody else? Somebody else? Yep. Go ahead. Did you say his knee is bothering him so bad? Okay. Yeah.
And so he was able to plant tractors.
Yeah, I know. They keep going, don't they? Yeah, yeah. But definitely want to keep Jim in our prayers. He's been on our monthly list for a long time about going through the chemo treatments and everything. But let's keep him in our prayers. Here again and more so today. So, somebody else? Yep.
From the prayer chain, Chris had ever asked us to pray for her cousin Sarah, who has cancer. And Ellen Barnes asked us to pray for her mother's friend, but she did pass away. And of course, Carol Craft's funeral was. Thursday, and we need to pray for our world
and America. Okay. So we want to remember Sarah in our prayers, who's battling cancer, the Barnes and extended family for that loss of that loved one, for our country and our world. Someone else? Anybody else? Yep.
I have a joy and a concern. Yesterday I was able to visit for about 45 minutes with my 91-year-old only living uncle over in Marysville. So it was great to see him. And unspoken, but it has to do with my job.
Okay. Okay. Want to remember that in the prayer and So, anybody else? There, finally, this side of the sanctuary.
Friday, we got to go to Columbus to watch Evan with 11 others of my niece get their state FFA degree. And then left there to go hear the choir perform for a state competition. And the only highest division there is in upstate Ohio, which is AA, and they got a superior rating. So it was wonderful to hear the choir perform. So if you do get the chance to go on the 13th, you will be amazed by the choir.
Yeah, yeah, they are great. I love when I hear them, sometimes when I'm subbing at the school and I can hear them during third period in the cafeteria practicing. And the band, I think, got a superior rating at the state also. Yeah, so. Any others? All right, so there's quite a few there. And we want to remember Jody Cron, as I talked to her. I might have talked to her a day or so too early. She was way out of it. And I said, it's at pain meds. And but I still got her to laugh a little bit. So, but she's recovering and doing pretty good. And so I got to pray with her, and she'll be starting physical therapy, I'm sure, soon, because they usually don't wait. She had a hip replacement. And so we want to remember her in our prayers this morning also. So lots of different names. David's going to have something that's going to be played there. And during that time, quietly in your seats, you can pray if some of these names come to your mind, or somebody that you know specifically that you want to lift up the Lord, you can pray there quietly in your seats. And then I'll come and close us out in prayer. Merciful Father, we are so grateful today for your goodness in our lives. We're so thankful for Jesus, our cornerstone, our anchor, the one that we can hold on to when the storms of life threaten us. And Lord, we are thankful today that we can turn to you in times of need, and that you hear us and that you care. Jesus taught us that we can come to the Father and pray in his name, and that the Father will hear us and do great things, that his name may be honored and glorified. So today, Lord, we ask that you would work in the lives of those that have been mentioned today, God. Lord, we thank you that for Andy, that it was not a cancer, but they're still trying to figure out what's going on there and what's happening with the thyroid. So we pray for wisdom and guidance. We pray for your healing hand and touch there today. We pray for Dwayne with the heart problems. We pray for Barney today with that disc, Lord, that you will just give him your mercy and grace and healing touch there, and help them to be able to work with him to get that better and work through that, Lord. We pray for Kelly's daughter today with these cysts in her brain. Lord, we just ask that you would bring your healing touch and grace to her. Give the doctors wisdom as they're trying to set the course in this surgery and everything that's involved there. But Lord, we see that the insurance is not wanting to help to pay for all of it. God, we just ask for your grace and your favor and your mercy in that situation there. Lord, we lift up Judy to you, God, asking for your healing touch for her, Lord. And not sure about this abnormal blood test, but Lord, we just ask that you would touch her today. And for Jim today, Lord, that you continue to give him your healing touch and your strength during this planting season and bring healing to that knee and whatever's going on there as we lift him up to you. We pray for Sarah today, who's battling cancer, for your touch there. Lord, we lift up Jody as she's recovering. And we pray, continue to pray for your strength and healing touch with her as she goes through therapy. We pray and lift up Georgia to you, Lord, as she is going through physical therapy and your strength and touch with her. Lord, we lift up the Dutcher and Ferris families today with the loss of these loved ones. We just ask that you would grant your comfort and your peace and your love for them today, and that you will be with them in their loss, Lord. And we're grateful and thankful for that. And the Barnes family, Lord, with and the extended family with that loss of that loved one there too. Lord, we continue to lift up our country. We continue to lift up our world. We pray for peace in our world, God, in the situations that are happening all around our world, Lord. And we just continue to pray for wisdom and guidance for our leaders of our own country and our states. And local leaders, God, we continue to pray for wisdom and guidance for our leaders around the world, Lord, that they would make wise and just decisions, Lord, decisions of peace, Lord, throughout our world. And God, we thank you for that. Thank you for each one that's here today. And Lord, we just ask your blessing on the rest of our time together as we break the bread of your word today. May it feed our souls and fill us with faith as we go forth, as we talk about how we are a part of something much, much greater than ourselves here. And we're thankful for all of that today. As we ask it now, all in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Thank you for joining us in prayer. We know it makes a world of a difference, especially for those that are in need. And so now we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. Just as I said a little while ago at the beginning of the service, the buckets are for change or dollar bills and for the Heifer Project. And so if you'd like to give into that, you may also do that today. So as our ushers come today, God bless you as you give. Join together there for our prayer of dedication in the bulletin again. Lord, we thank you for the many gifts you have given us. Bless this offering that we may work for you, bringing healing and hope to our world. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. I had to chuckle a little bit because somebody put in here Callaway golf balls. I'm not sure who those are for, but it might be worth some money. I don't know. Callaway is pretty good. Our scripture reading this morning is coming from 1 Peter again, as we are following along with the lectionary. Now, if you were paying any attention, last week we looked at the passage after this, and today's lectionary goes back. And as I was thinking about why they did that, I understand now a little bit better why, as we talk a little bit about Christ as our foundation and as a living stone this morning. So chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. Come to Christ, the living stone, rejected by humans, but honored nonetheless, chosen and precious in God's eyes. And you are living stones as well. You are being built into a spiritual house to become a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices to God through Jesus Christ. For scripture has it, see, I'm laying a cornerstone in Zion, an honored and precious stone. Those who trust in him will not be ashamed. For those who trust, there is honor. But for those who do not trust, the very stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, a stone causing stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble over the word they refuse to obey. You, however, are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a consecrated nation, a people set apart, to sing the praises of the one who called you out of the darkness into the wonderful divine light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once there was no mercy for you, but now you have found mercy. That is God's word for us this morning, and I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Amen and amen. Well, you know, I like to start with something funny. A minister was preoccupied with thoughts about how he was going to ask the congregation to come up with more money than they were expecting to repair the church building. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Therefore, he was annoyed to find out that the regular organist was sick And a substitute had been brought in at the last minute. The substitute wanted to know what to play. Here's a copy of the service, he said. But you'll have to think of something to play after I announce the announcement about the finances. During the service, the minister paused and said, "Brothers and sisters, we are in great difficulty. The roof repairs cost twice as much as we expected, and we need $4,000 more. Any of you that can pledge $100 or more, please stand up." At that moment, the substitute organist played the Star Spangled Banner. And this is how the substitute became the regular organist. It's kind of funny how unconsciously we kind of do things, you know. Oh, say, we're all up. This morning, I want to talk to you this morning about living stones. Living stones. Okay, here's my question from earlier. What do you do with stones? Or what do you do with your stones that's maybe on your property? Let's think a little bit about it. I'm sure all of us could say lots of different things, and maybe I'll hit on a few of them, maybe not. Some people decorate them and use them for different reasons, like in their landscaping or for building something. Some of you just like to pick them up and throw them or skip them, like on a creek or pond or whatever it may be. Some of you may just pick them up out of your yard, out of your field, and put them on a pile somewhere. And I'm sure there's lots more that we could talk about. Stones appear in Scripture for a variety of reasons. Listen to some of these. Stones in Scripture are used as pillows. I bet you that was comfortable, wasn't it? Altars. Pillars. Boundary markers. Memorials. Markers of significant events. Stone tablets were common for writing, such as we think of as the Ten Commandments. Stones were used as weapons or dice. And I say dice because Uman and Thurman were dice-like stone objects that had yes and no, and they would toss them in making decisions in the Old Testament at times. Beautiful engravements like what we're told about representing the 12 tribes of Israel or the foundation of the New Jerusalem. Large stones were used as closures over tombs or structural elements for buildings and shrines and temples. But stones also appear often, especially in the Psalms, as metaphors for strength and permanence. In our reading today, we hear of stones functioning as more life-giving ways this morning. And that's what I was trying to talk to the kids about this morning, of what God is doing in our lives through Christ. So we're going to look at this in two ways. First of all, I want you to think about these living stones as God's people. And this makes sense because we can see how that the church as living stones is being brought out in this story in our reading this morning. Why? Why stones? Let's think about that for a minute. Why stones? What are stones? Stones are the stuff of the earth, stuff of dirt and ground and harder clay things and what's some of the other shale, and some of those kind of things, you know, that form over hundreds and thousands and millions of years. It's interesting, I found somebody that said in some classical Roman writings, stones were equated with death. I thought, that's interesting. I'm going to tell you why here in a second. Yet they are living stones. Now, we think of stones as hard, dead, inanimate, you know, whatever you want to say. But Peter uses this metaphor that they are living and equates it with God's people and the church. And the living may be the aspect of new life that we have in Christ, which we talked about last week in that message. And the week before. Why? Why is he using this? What's he trying to paint here? Well, let's think of it this way. In connection with God's people and the church. Stones are dirty. Messy. Dead. Wait a minute. I hope nobody's getting offended here all of a sudden. Do you remember in Charlie Brown cartoon and on the Charlie Brown shows, who was the one that went around and there was this puff of dirt? Pigpen, yes. Everywhere he went. Now, I'm not saying we're like that this morning, but there's something about that that I think Peter's trying to get, because stones are dirty, messy, dead, yet they can be, as I was talking with the kids this morning, they can be transformed, sculpted, and used for many things. And I like that because I think it is fitting for all of us. I don't take it offensively at all, but I think it's an apt thing to say there, because the church is about messy people infused with the life-giving Spirit of God. You know, Peter says that Christ was rejected. He was the cornerstone that was rejected, meaning crucified, yet raised as the cornerstone. But he himself is a living stone also, like us. Maybe that's the image that Paul was drawing upon when he said that Christ, after his resurrection, is now a life-giving spirit. Because we are like him. And now, because of his spirit in us, we share in his identity and his life that is within us. A few weeks ago, we baptized two. And we confirmed two. And we took in about six in membership. Listen to this. Every time someone comes to Christ and is baptized, another stone is quarried out of the dirt and spiritized. I don't know if that's a real word, but I coined it, if not. Spiritized and fitted as living stones in him, in that building that God is constructing through the Spirit. And we are part of that. We are part of that. Living stones as God's people. Second thing I want you to see is living stones as a community. A community. And when we look at this, it's a little bit similar there. The church as a spiritual household. We're familiar with that because we sing about, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. You know, we're a part of God's family. But the point is that there's a major construction project that's going on. You know, I get frustrated, especially every spring when it all starts back up again on 75. I'm like, they're never going to be done working on 75. It's like year after year after year after year after year. I got stuck in traffic coming home from Dayton yesterday, because I was coming back from a SUNCA meeting, our association meeting, and right again, between Vandalia and Tip, I got stopped. But thankfully, it was just along the edge, but somehow we slowed down to 5 miles an hour for quite a while. The previous time, I was stuck in traffic there at night for 2 hours. Going north. But guess what? There's a major construction project going on behind the scenes in you and I and in people of God. As Christ builds his church, that spirit community that's being formed. He's quarried us out of the pit And now, guess what he's doing? He's chiseling away at us. He's chiseling on us. And he's shaping us. And he doesn't get done because he's got to smooth us out. Get rid of our rough edges, because if he left us with rough edges, we'd be offensive to people. So he's smoothing us into a community. And what kind of a community? A community of priests. Yes, priests. We're all called to be priests. We're all called to share our faith and help connect people with God in whatever ways that is, through our kindness, through our acts of kindness, through prayer and praying for helping somebody or giving or whatever it may be. And the church is not only that spiritual household, but it is built upon the foundation of Christ as cornerstone. That's what I began with the kids this morning. Got to have that cornerstone in place. Guess what? It's been in place for 2,000 years. Because Jesus was made alive by God, he is now the cornerstone, the standard by which all other stones make up the building or walls. He now mediates life to all who trust in him, who are connected to him. He's the reason we have life and that we are a community of living stones. And one of the things about this, and we don't usually think of it in connection with stones, but one of the things that comes out of it in our reading today and in a whole lot of Paul's writing, especially in Ephesians, where he talks about that building going on also, is that growth is a community priority. That's why we gather regularly and draw near to Christ. The very first words Peter said in our writing this morning. We draw near to Christ so that we may grow and flourish and walk in our destiny. What's our destiny? He tells us. We're a chosen generation or race, a royal priesthood, a holy or consecrated nation. We are God's own possessions. When I was in college, one of my friends in college wrote a little story about that we are jewels in the jeweler's hands and bag. And the jeweler would take us out and look at us. And he would see imperfections, and so he would chip and work to make us into even brighter shining. You know, a diamond. You know that cut? What is it? Cut, color, and what's the other one?
Clarity.
Clarity. Thank you. Thank you. That's why he's working in us. So the clarity and the cut and the color of us. I've shared this before and I forgot to pull up the picture on it. But how many of you have ever heard of clinker bricks? Clinker bricks are bricks that did not quite make it. For some reason or another, they came out of the kiln misshapen or deformed. Well, guess what? There's a Presbyterian church in New York State that was intentionally built out of clinker bricks. And you can Google it and find it and look at a picture of it. Apparently, the congregation wanted to send a message, so they built their church out of imperfect, rejected bricks. The message is that we are all imperfect people, but through Christ we become living stones in his church. At times, we may feel like our lives are in ruin or rubble or whatever you want to say. Maybe our color is getting bad. Maybe our clarity isn't shining through. Yet Christ takes our lives and makes us into something beautiful. Listen to me. It's my last thing. Rise from your pews today, church, and leave this place as living stones shining with the life of our cornerstone in us. Amen. Amen. Well, take a few moments and greet one another this morning and share God's blessing with someone and pass some peace along today before we close out. To turn in your hymn books, you're welcome to 343 as we sing that chorus, "Bind Us Together, Lord. Bind Us Together." Huh?
Whatever she's got to play.
Bind us together. Bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together. Bind us together in love. Okay, that's fine. I wasn't. I don't always remember the exact way she records them when she's gone for us. So, yeah, we'll just stop there. All right. Don't forget to stay down for fellowship time. Let's join together for our benediction in the bulletin. Go forth as God's very own people. May the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and always. Amen. Amen.